This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Several big banks out with earnings reports this morning. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. Profits are up at banks J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. J.P. beat analyst estimates for its first quarter profits, up 5% to a record $9.2 billion. I'm joined now by Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Kimberly.
Now, Chris, you've been spending some time with smaller banks recently who aren't doing nearly as well as some of these record profits we're seeing at the big bank. What accounts for the difference?
Well, I think the biggest difference is the customers. These big banks that reported earnings today have, by and large corporate customers. The little banks I saw this morning are primarily doing business with small businesses and with households. The large corporations right now can borrow very cheaply, but small business can't. And as a result, the small banks are struggling because their customers are struggling.
So spin that out for me. What does this mean for the broader economy?
You know, I think it's important to remember that more than half of us, a little more than 50% of Americans, are employed by small businesses. It's an absolutely vital part of the economy, and I think it's one of the primary explanations for why economic growth is slowing this year compared to last year.
Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Wall Street is also getting ready for Uber's IPO, but another billion-dollar giant starts trading on the New York Stock Exchange today. It's called Jumia, considered Africa's answer to Amazon. The BBC's Su Ping Chan has more.
I need a great deal, the best price I can get.
That's why I shop on Jumia.
The online shop you can trust. It's a message slowly getting through to consumers in Africa, where less than 1% of sales are on the web. Jumia has recruited delivery partners to ensure service that's reliable yet affordable. And it's working. Revenues jumped by almost 40% in 2018. Speaking to the BBC last year, co-CEO Sasha Ponyonek said many customers lived in those hard-to-reach places.
The most difficult is to do the last mile and to know the consumer who lives 50 miles from Abuja somewhere in Nigeria. And then going from the port of Lagos to that consumer is the part which is, in my eyes, the most difficult part.
Jumia's unrivaled network of warehouses makes it a prime takeover target, says Britton Ladd, a former Amazon executive.
What I believe is going to happen is that Jumia will be acquired by one of the major players. And I would say Amazon is probably the one that would do it.
There's always room for improvement. 100,000 laptops are on sale on Jumia's Nigerian site. Just 18 can be delivered within 2 days. In London, I'm the BBC's Su Ping Chan for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before.
More at paloaltonetworks.com.
An arrest for a drug offense can lead to years or, for some, decades in jail. But now a trend of alternative sentencing is keeping some offenders out of jail. The latest episode of Marketplace's podcast, The Uncertain Hour, looks at court-ordered community service programs and how they're being used in the opioid crisis. Now, for more on this topic, we turn to Heather Ann Thompson. She's a history professor at the University of Michigan who spent some time studying these programs. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how is the justice system rethinking sentencing and mass incarceration?
Well, I think that most who work for the justice system or who've experienced it understand that we are in a bit of a crisis, way too many people locked up. So there's a real push to think about doing justice differently. A key feature of that is to think about alternatives to actual imprisonment.
And what do you mean by alternatives to imprisonment?
Well, I think there's a number of options. There are different kinds of courts. For example, there's now drug courts. There's also a real move to community service, community supervision, where someone would actually work for a locality rather than be locked up. And the idea is that they're giving back to the community while also being close to family and not costing the state a lot of money in terms of incarceration.
But how much money do communities actually save by using these types of programs?
From the cost-saving point of view, of course, it's a cost-shifting mechanism that puts a lot of burden on the folks who are doing that community service. Their families are now bearing the costs of incarceration. And it's also really not clear how much is saved financially because of the enormous bureaucracy.
You mentioned the cost of these programs on individual families. Can you talk about those costs?
When those folks are under home supervision, it is, of course, the family member that has a family person living in their home who's forced to work for free for the state. So in other words, they're not making any money. But of course, family members are still having to house them and feed them. But we need to be clear that this incarcerated person, now incarcerated at home, is still making money for some other entity. And it's the family that's picking up those hidden costs of incarceration.
What would need to change to make these systems, in your opinion, work better?
The most important question is, why do we have so many people in that system, more than any other time in American history, more than any other country? So if we want to solve this, we have to stop treating social problems with criminal justice solutions.
Heather Ann Thompson is a professor of history at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
The newest episode of The Uncertain Hour is out now. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.